Welcome to your Newsmax Daily for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024, the 16th Tuesday of the year, the third of five Tuesdays this month, with exactly 2 weeks left in the month of April. Spring has sprung, and today is National Orchid Day. And of course, every Tuesday is National Taco Tuesday. I may partake in that today as well. On Capitol Hill, House Republicans are finally walking the articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas over to the Senate, which will kick off a trial in the Democrat-controlled chamber. Senate leader Chuck Schumer, the top Democrat, has already said that he plans to dismiss the charges of impeachment, which would lead to some fireworks on Capitol Hill today. It is also a big day over at the U.S. Supreme Court, which is hearing arguments related to a charge against January 6th defendants. We'll talk a little bit more about that later. President Biden is in his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania today, where he has two campaign stops.
Bidenomics is about building an economy from the middle out and the bottom up.
And former President Donald Trump is back in his hometown of New York City for another day in court as prosecutors and Trump attorneys work to try and seat a jury. Zero jurors were selected out of 96 potential jurors on Monday. Trump, of course, spoke about day one outside the courthouse.
Happened today. As you know, my son is graduating from high school, and it looks like the judge will not let me go through the graduation of my son, who's worked very, very hard. He's a great student, and he's very proud of the fact that he did so well, and was looking forward for years to have graduation with his mother and father there, and it looks like the judge isn't going to allow me to escape this scam. It's a scam trial. If you read all of the legal pundits, all of the legal scholars today, there's not one that I see that said this is a case that should be brought or tried. It's a scam. It's a political witch hunt. It continues, and it continues forever. And we're not going to be given a fair trial. It's a very, very sad thing. In addition, as you know, next Thursday, we're before the United States Supreme Court at a very big hearing on immunity. And this is something that we've been waiting for a long time. And the judge, of course, is not going to allow us. He's a very conflicted judge. And he's not going to allow us to go to that. He won't allow me to leave here for a half a day, go to D.C. and go before the United States Supreme Court because he thinks he's superior, I guess, to the Supreme Court. We got a real problem with this judge. We have a real problem with a lot of things having to do with this trial, including the DA, because you go right outside and people are being mugged and killed all day long, and he's sitting here all day with about 10 or 12 prosecutors over nothing, over nothing, over what people say shouldn't be a trial. So I just want to thank you very much, but that I can't go to my son's graduation or that I can't go to the United States Supreme Court, that I'm not in Georgia or Florida or North Carolina campaigning like I should be, it's perfect for the radical left Democrats. That's exactly what they want. This is about election interference. That's all it's about. Thank you very much.
And just to be clear, Judge Juan Merchan did not definitively rule against Trump's request to attend Barron's graduation, which isn't until next month. So this is likely going to go on for months, keeping Trump from a lot of things. But anyway, Merchan says it depends on if we are on time and where we are at the trial. Trump, in his comments, mentioned legal scholars, right? None better than constitutional law expert and Harvard professor Alan Dershowitz.
Is this seemingly going as you thought it would so far? I know it's early.
Yeah, it's going as I thought it would, very unfairly against Trump. The questions that are being asked the jurors are absurd. They're asking the jurors, can you be fair? What juror in his right mind would ever say, no, I can't be fair? The question should not ask the jurors anything about their own ability to render a fair verdict. That's a decision that should be made only after extensive examination about the facts. What have you heard about Trump? What have you said about Trump? What have people told you about Trump? Have you expressed views about Trump? These are the issues. Don't ask a juror whether it can be fair. Of course, a juror will always say they can be fair if they want to serve on the jury. If they don't want to serve on the jury, they'll say, no, they can't be fair, even if they could be fair. So this judge is starting out absolutely on the wrong foot. Look, everything about this case is on the wrong foot. This is a made-up crime. It's a made-up case. It's totally political. If you listen to CNN, though, you think it's the fairest case in the world. The CNN commentator this morning, this is a commentator, said, oh, Trump lied. Trump lied when he said this was a politically motivated case. No, the commentator lied. Of course this is a politically motivated case. The federal government didn't bring it. Initially, the DA's office didn't bring it. Then when there was a revolt within the office by some radical leftists in the office itself, he changed his mind. And CNN also reports, well, you can't blame the prosecutor. It's the grand jury who indicted. Duh. Grand juries never turn down requests to indict. It's always the prosecutor who tells the grand jury to indict. As the former chief judge of New York put it very accurately, if a prosecutor tells a grand jury to indict a ham sandwich, it will do so. And if the ham sandwich's name has Trump on it, of course it will indict. And the same thing may be true of a conviction, even though this is the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of teaching and practicing and writing about criminal law. It may well result in a conviction because of jury selection and because the jurors are picked from a pool, 85% of whom voted against Donald Trump and probably hate Donald Trump and are going to try to hide that hatred in order to get on the jury to convict them.
Lifelong Democrat and native New Yorker Professor Alan Dershowitz. There was some protesting of Trump's trial outside the courthouse, but there was a much larger, unrelated protest also happening in New York City. More from Carl Higbee.
A new video just in the Newsmax right now, Brianna. You can see here several arrests are being made on the Brooklyn Bridge this after all these Palestinian protests. They're terrorists. Let's just call them what they are. They're blocking, saying, oh, we need ceasefire. And, you know, nobody should do anything. And they should just let Iran bomb indiscriminately whoever they want. And these people in America are chanting death to America, utilizing the rights provided to them by America. Brianna?
Yeah, this is, Carl, this is ridiculous. You know, if you look at some of the protests that happened throughout the day, Florida, they had one, and within 15 minutes, you had people quite literally being dragged off the street by police. That's how it should be done. Unfortunately, we live in New York, and it's funny, there was a protest on a bridge near me, and those protesters were allegedly taken into custody much quicker than these Brooklyn Bridge protesters and other protests. But obstructing a road, a transit place, a sidewalk is not covered by the First Amendment's freedom of assembly, right? That is not protected free speech. And yet you don't see the same appetite for accountability on the left for this stuff when we see appetite for accountability for people, for instance, blocking a doorway because they don't want innocent babies to be murdered, right? That's the pro-life abortion or the pro-life activists who are sentenced to, what, 10 and a half years in jail because they stood there praying
and singing a hymn.
Commentator Brianna Lyman on Frontline with Carl Higbee. At least the New York police made some attempt to clear things out. They made several arrests. They tried to keep a line of traffic open. In San Francisco, the Golden Gate Bridge was completely shut down, and the cops were doing nothing about it. I mean, completely shut down. Cops just watching. That's what you get for paying the highest taxes in the country. Nothing. And as she mentioned, here in Florida, the police literally dragged protesters off the streets. Let's go back to Carl for more on what is happening in the Middle East.
Well, we're here. The Middle East is imploding again. I'll be honest. I don't really remember a time in my 40 years on this earth that that region was not some sort of dumpster fire, was at war, or at least in some sort of conflict, whether it be cultural or global, whatever. And America has always thrown themselves in the middle of it for some odd reason. Gulf War, Desert Storm, the last 20 years we had over there. But now, I can't understand. For the life of me, we have a president that is telling another country not to solve a problem that will inevitably become our problem here on our shores or even become our war eventually. Israel's got this. They're not asking for any additional help. They're not even really asking for any major resources from us. That means that America's sons and daughters don't have to spend what, if history is correct, potentially another two decades in the Middle East dying in that region for, you know, another failed war campaign because we don't understand the basic dynamics of the region. We refuse to understand Iran's real intent. I realize that Joe Biden is thinking, well, I realize the people around him are thinking, but let's be honest. The bigger this conflict becomes and the more scrutiny that falls back on the Biden administration and their foreign policy or lack thereof, Iran has spent the last 50 years chanting death to America. Why would we waste our breath? asking Israel to use any measure of restraint whatsoever. If you ask a bully nicely to stop punching you in the face, they're going to keep punching you in the face. But if you punch him back, he'll probably leave you alone. Again, these are supposed to be the adults in the room. At least that's what they told us. The White House wants a diplomatic response. They want Israel to show restraint. Diplomacy is what you do when you're negotiating. Not after someone chanced death to your country for 5 decades, is developing a nuclear weapon that they say they will use, and launches drones and missiles and attack on our ally. We're past diplomacy, and another country's willing to do it, do all the work for us. They want to destroy Iran. Sounds great. Look, I don't want war. I've been there. It's not a good thing. But the enemy gets a say on whether or not war happens. Iran keeps saying they're at war with us and Israel. Maybe we should believe them. Like, what's it going to take? And if someone else is going to do the dirty work for us, why would you not want to wipe Iran off the map at the hands of somebody else? I mean, if I was president, I'd be like, yeah, go ahead, Israel, do your thing.
Carl Higbee hosts The Frontline. That is 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Do not miss it. South Carolina Senator and former GOP candidate Tim Scott weighed in on Rob Schmidt tonight.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott sits on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, and he joins us now. And, sir, it's good to have you back on. I want to start this report from the Jerusalem Post revealing the Biden administration sent a message to Iran that any action it took had to be within certain limits. The White House denying today that they knew the time and the scope of the attacks, but it does seem like the White House actually did know.
Well, Rob, you know, one of the things we have to remember is that way back when Joe Biden told Putin, do not have cyber attacks over these areas of our economy. How ridiculous is that? Just as ridiculous as the words that just left your lips. Here's what we know about Joe Biden. Weakness on his part actually invites conflict and chaos. When we had Donald Trump as our president, what happened in the Middle East? The strength of Donald Trump led to the Abraham Accords. And because of the Abraham Accords, even this past weekend, it was the strength of Donald Trump and the Abraham Accords that gave permission, green-lighted a response from Arab nations to be supportive of Israel. The contrast could not be more clear, and the dereliction of duty of Joe Biden stands out in front as shameful, disgusting, and violent. It leads to violence here at home and abroad. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It is. It's sad to see. It's sad to see what we've seen inside our own country today, and what we're seeing in the Middle East as the world just continuously on fire with this ridiculous administration. Biden told Iran don't. They're now telling Israel don't respond. Israel is going to respond. Israel, I think has every right to respond at the end of the day. This was not. I mean, Iran tried to say that matters finished now. You started the fight. And now you're hitting again and you don't want a response.
You know, Rob, I said this on October the 7th. The best offense is a good defense. And frankly, what that means is if you want to slow down the loss of lives, if you want to eliminate chaos, you have to respond mightily and immediately. That meant on October the 7th, targeting Iran, their assets, their resources, and the IRGC. Why? Because if you actually want to stop violence in the Middle East, if you want to stop a Jewish genocide, you hit them where it hurts and you hit them where it starts. What you don't do is release $6 billion in August. What you don't do is release $10 billion in November. What you don't do is relax sanctions on their oil. 40% of their economy comes from oil. What you do is what Donald Trump did.
South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, and there is a lot of debate over those funds, right, that the Biden administration released to Iran, being frozen or not being frozen, how they're using it or how they may not be using it, how it may help them get other funds. Back to Senator Scott, who says that money doesn't even matter, thanks to President Biden easing sanctions.
Here's what we cannot argue. We cannot argue that by relaxing the sanctions regime on Iran, they have received billions, far more than $16 billion, 30 plus billions of dollars from their oil revenue. Who buys the oil? China buys 90% of their oil, and that means billions and billions to the Iranian regime to do what? Sponsor?
Sure. Yeah.
Where? The Middle East. Yeah. Why? Because they hate them. Yeah. This ain't difficult.
Again, South Carolina Senator, former presidential candidate, and possible VP candidate Tim Scott on Rob Schmidt tonight. Let's not forget about the border crisis, right? It's a lot of things deflecting us from paying attention to the border crisis, which has created a huge immigration crisis, which is leading to a huge crime crisis and a health crisis. Listen to this segment on National Report with an independent journalist who has been visiting migrant centers around the country.
At one of these shelters, we know measles has been breaking out. Now tuberculosis. A five-year-old got tuberculosis. She was inside the shelter. They said that the migrant had to call the ambulance in order to get her taken out of that shelter, but that migrant father had no money to pay the ambulance. Therefore, the child stayed in the shelter with tuberculosis until it got so bad that the shelter took her on out.
So, Brooke, that's scary in itself. Not only are we talking about, again, yet money being an issue, but now you've got potential health care issues.
Yes, what we've learned in Chicago and with these diseases that are going around, these shelters, especially in Chicago, one of them was a warehouse with no windows. Everything was boarded up. And could you imagine if measles or tuberculosis or other diseases or sicknesses are going on in these shelters? There's no windows, there's no ventilation, and people are in there on cots, you know, thousands of people. We were told up to 3,000 people. At one point where that outbreak was, there was 3,000 people in there. Also, what was shocking is that they're sending these children to schools that are in these shelters where these outbreaks are occurring.
Measles, tuberculosis, COVID, who knows what else? That's independent journalist Brooke Shirley on National Report. Back at the start, I mentioned it's a big day at the Supreme Court, which is hearing arguments on whether an obstruction law used against some of the defendants charged in the Capitol riot on January 6th should be invalidated. The justice's decision could help some of the defendants and could also help Donald Trump, who's facing charges related to trying to overturn the 2020 election. The Supreme Court is also allowing the state of Idaho to enforce a ban on gender-affirming care for transgender youth, reversing a lower court's ruling even while lawsuits over the law move forward. Every time I say youths, it's hard for me not to say the two utes. The justice's order allows the state to put in place a 2023 law that subjects physicians to possible prison time if they provide hormones, puberty blockers, or other gender-affirming care to people under the age of 18. All of that verbiage is very important because you're hearing a lot about putting doctors in jail and that sort of stuff. Last week, Tennessee's mostly Republican state Senate passed a bill similar to the Idaho bill that would also make it a felony for adults to help minors get gender transition procedures. That is expected to pass the House in Tennessee as well. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has taken similar steps to Tennessee, requesting that the board that oversees doctors in the state ban transition-related care for transgender minors, again, under the age of 18. A federal judge ruled on Monday against Rudy Giuliani's request to overturn that massive defamation judgment to two Georgia election workers. You remember that? Everything, you know, just comes and goes, right? The news cycle moves so quick. Well, the judge ordered Trump's former attorney and former New York City mayor, Rudy Giuliani, to pay the $148 million fine. My. Speaking of money on Wall Street, we're looking at more red numbers today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now working on its seventh consecutive losing day. You may or may not want to check your 401k. Keep up with all of the news all day long on Newsmax. Don't forget it is available on most major cable systems, AT&T, Comcast Cable, Fios, Xfinity, MediaCom, Spectrum, Suddenlink, and many, many others, as well as Dish and DirecTV. I'm Tony Marino. Thank you, as always, for checking out the Newsmax Daily. Share it with your friends and family. Hopefully, we'll see you right back here tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your day and keep on fighting the good fight.
News breaks every minute, every day. You need the app, the Newsmax app. Find it free on your smartphone store. Then watch us anytime, anywhere.